So over the years, I've written a lot about the idea of a minimal viable product, sometimes called an MVP, but I don't think I've ever taken the time to explain exactly what they are. So if you've heard the term but are unsure about what it means or why it may matter to you, then this is the video for you. To understand what a minimal viable product is, you must first understand how most products are created. And to demonstrate this process, I'm going to use a very simplistic example of constructing a new building. Step one in the process is that somebody somewhere within the organization has the idea for creating a new building. This is often somebody in senior management somewhere. Now, the idea might have been informed by some research into the market or some specific objective, but often it's not. It's just a moment of inspiration. And even when that research has been done, the idea often lacks definition at this early stage. But then it moves into step two, which is a planning and specification stage. This is where all the details for the building are hammered out. It's an important stage because the cost of getting things wrong can be very high, especially with construction, and the cost of changing things later is equally intimidating. Organisations sometimes consult with the eventual occupants at this stage, the people that are going to be living in the building or using the product, but there's nothing to really show them, and so it's difficult to get a detailed sense of what it is that they actually need. Next, the plans are then implemented. The building starts to be constructed, and the focus of this stage is delivering on time and within budget. The enemy is scope creep or unexpected developments. If the planning stage has been thorough enough, these can be minimized, but you certainly don't want to change plans at this late stage. Once the building has been completed, the final building can be revealed to the world. And this is the crunch moment. Will the occupants like it? Will it provide what they actually need rather than what they said they wanted? And will people actually purchase a house in the building, an apartment in the building? It's impossible then to know the answers to these questions until the product goes to market. This is true even when you've done your research during its development. And worse still, if you don't get a good response, if it doesn't go down well, there's certainly no budget or time to make any changes. The project only budgeted for some basic maintenance once the building was finished. Everybody has moved on to other projects. By contrast, a minimal viable product allows you to gather reliable data about the customer's reaction to the product. Even better, there's no danger of over-engineering the solution and building something people don't actually want. You could be confident that you're only building features that the audience will actually use. Now, to explain this better, let me use the example of creating a public park. The initial park could be pretty basic, a few trees, a bit of grass, but as a result, you could open that park early to the public and get people in there seeing it. No long specification phase will be required because the cost of implementation is going to be really low, and you can always improve the park over time. As the gardeners tend to the park each day, they can talk to the public who are using that park. They can watch how they use the park and adapt accordingly. For example, they might start to get some feedback that the park lacks colour. The gardeners might decide to plant some flowers to brighten things up. After all, the cost isn't very high and they're working in the garden anyway. Next, people start to say that it'd be nice to have a pond. Now, this is a bigger investment, but a bit of research reveals that it would probably attract a new audience of model boat enthusiasts. So, with that knowledge, the owners decided that they're willing to make the investment. Finally, the gardeners observe that people are sitting on the grass. Now, that's not a problem for most people, but some elderly people are struggling. They decide to add a bench, and afterwards, from monitoring what people are doing, they notice that the elderly people are now spending longer in the park. As you can see, a minimal viable product is much more flexible, a much more flexible way of working. It isn't right in all circumstances, but for something like a digital project where the cost of change is low, it's worth considering. This is because it offers some real distinct advantages. It's got a lower cost of development because you're only building what people will actually use. Your park keepers could have built something like a skateboard park, but it turned out that there wasn't any demand for that, so they didn't invest. They didn't need to guess. They're also faster to market because you can start with something basic and there's no need for a long specification stage, and that gives you a competitive advantage when it comes to grabbing market share. Also, minimal viable products lead to a more desirable product at the end of the day, and that's because it gives people exactly what they need and they don't end up paying for features that just clutter up the experience and they don't want anyway. This in turn leads to increased customer satisfaction, and that leads to word of mouth recommendation. Also, in the case of digital products, it leads to easier to use solutions. And that doesn't just increase satisfaction, it's also going to reduce your support costs. Look, don't misunderstand me. A minimal viable product isn't some magic bullet. It's not always the right approach. But when you're building a digital service, it's often better than the alternatives out there.